It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
6:02 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. I said silence, Joe. Silence.
Well, he listened.
We'll write it. We'll do it live. All right. The open. We'll do it live. Rob, you in the front row. Oh, damn it already.
What's going on? Thank you. Appreciate that. It wasn't all the way open. What's up, guys?
What's up?
Well, yeah. I got something to report, man. My whole day's going to be off.
What?
I'm telling you, my whole, if I'm not on my game today, I know why. So I woke up this morning and I thought it was Monday. Why is it important for me, Ed, to know the day of the week?
Your underwear.
There you go.
You're wearing the wrong underwear?
I'm wearing Monday drawers today, man.
What'd you wear yesterday? Monday drawers?
I'm wearing Monday drawers, man.
See, that's why I can't wear... Because, like, I can't wear dated underwear because, let's say, back in the day, you
If you don't take a picture of that, you don't have a hair in your ass.
What's it say? Do cool?
Monday draws, man.
Well, no, but I'm saying you're dating someone, you meet them new, and you're just grabbing underwear.
I don't have a hair. I got a hair on my ass, man.
No, I was talking to him.
Okay.
Well, so I'm just saying, like, you get into this situation now where you're looking at whoever you're dating is like, why are you wearing Friday's underwear on Monday? It's hard to explain, like, did I wear them since Friday? Are they clean and I put them on the wrong day? Will she believe me if I tell her that?
It depends on what situation you're in. She may not care.
Does she mind my racing stripe? You know?
Oh, that might be a problem. That may be a problem.
My racing stripe. It means I'm fast. I finished before you.
Yeah, you just didn't wipe.
Just go commando and solve it all.
Yeah, I think I'll be off today, man. It's got the wrong underwear on.
I'll take it. I like this 4-day week. It's a good idea.
4-day work week.
Mm-hmm.
Other countries have that.
Yeah, a lot of them. A lot of people in this country have that.
But they have 10-hour days, though.
Whatever. Well, we can do like our sales staff here. You know.
Uh-oh.
What do they do?
Uh-oh. I have no idea.
Oh.
Are you calling our sales staff the NCAA?
What do you do here?
Actually, I'm calling them the NBA.
Oh,
no. There's a lot of load management going on here.
What is it? Almost a holiday? Yeah, we get off for almost holidays.
What's the? It's Tuesday. They're here today.
Yeah. They got a meeting today.
Today's the big day.
Yeah.
This is the big day here.
We want you guys to get out there and sell. Sell. Thanks for the meeting. Guess where we're going? To sell. It's like, come on, man. Every day, like you walk out of here on a Tuesday around 9 o'clock, either you're going to the bathroom, get something to drink, and then you hear some noise over there. So I walk over, it's like, yeah, it's a sales meeting. Sounds like the one last week.
Man. It's deep in here today, isn't it?
Oof. It's safe harbor.
It's hot in here.
What is hot in here?
What in the world, man? Jesus. Did somebody put the heat on?
Is that why you wore the wrong underwear? You knew it was going to be hot in here? It is. It's like a song. I had a hoodie on. I took it off.
Yeah,
I can't pick the right day to wear a hoodie nowadays.
You can't. I know.
That's what I hate about this
weather.
What
are you going to do?
That's what I hate about this weather. This is the type of weather. If you have the windows up, you turn the air on, then you get cool. You turn the air off, then you got to roll the windows down. But then the breeze is too cold. You can't get it right.
Well, I think we're done with the, you know, fall in the morning and summer in the afternoon. It's going to be like not even break 60 today.
Good.
It's not.
No, it's supposed to be like 59 for high. I think we're in fall finally.
You feel like that always causes problems with people getting sick. This fluctuation of weather, because it always seems to kind of coincide with it. And I've heard people say, it's like, oh, you got to be careful because you're dressing for this and this happens or whatever.
I don't think that has anything to do with getting sick. Really? Germs. Yeah, germs get
maybe
you sick,
your sinus.
Not the temperature.
The change of seasons get my sinus, but it doesn't matter how I dress.
Is it more of an allergy thing?
Yeah, I think that.
Okay. Yeah, that's what it is. I believe. I get it in October and in April every year. Doesn't matter how I dress. It's just allergies.
Just be cold.
Or
hot.
Yeah.
Whatever.
See, I like it. Well, I've said this before. I like it cold. I like wearing a hoodie and shorts in the wintertime. I do not like having a hoodie on when it's warm outside because I start sweating profusely and then I'm uncomfortable.
Oh, why would you wear a hoodie when it's warm?
Because when we get up in the morning, it's not warm.
Then wear a jacket instead of a hoodie.
I don't wear jackets. I wear hoodies.
Do you own a jacket? I've never seen one.
I have jackets. You're just never going to see me in one. I mean, I have like the...
Did somebody else buy you those jackets?
Yes. Okay. My wife. My wife had tried numerous years at Christmas time to buy me winter coats mm-hmm. and jackets, and I'm not sure I've worn them once. And I told her, I said, it's just, I don't ever think about grabbing those. I'm not necessarily uncomfortable in them, but I'm more comfortable in my hoodie, putting my hands in the pockets up front.
I know.
It's just...
I know, babe.
Thanks, man. Thanks, babe. I feel like I just explained too much of myself. It's like, just shut up and let us talk about something else.
So why the shorts and not pants?
Because I'm always warm. Like I like the cold weather. As long as my upper arms are covered, I'm warm. I swear, like I know it sounds stupid. I have the fan on.
Stupid. It's just, you know.
Well, I have the fan on year round. So like in my room.
Me too. You're so hairy, you should never be cold.
I know.
See, I'm the opposite. The hotter it is, the more comfortable I am.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me.
I'm just telling you, that's how it is. Hot outside, not inside. I don't like inside to be hot. When I step in the room, I want it to be cool.
And like me,
but when I walk outside, I want it to be 85 or above.
Yeah, like me saying I like it cold doesn't mean I want snow on the ground and it to be freezing outside.
I don't know. You ran outside in your underwear in the snow.
That did kind of
look like
good,
you enjoyed that. Yeah, yeah. You enjoyed that to me.
It was really cold out there. I don't know if anyone could tell, but it was really cold out there.
I could tell.
What month were you born again? I can tell you.
September.
Yeah, he had his little tiny underwear running around. I could tell what religion you were.
That's not true.
Oh, yeah, well, that's true. Yeah. You had it done anyway.
Damn it, Dad. They took a little too much off the top. Anyway.
I always thought maybe the weather that you like coincided with when you were born, but you were born in September, so that makes sense.
Fall weather.
That doesn't make sense.
But like we don't know what was fall weather when I was born. You know, like you look at it now, we don't know what fall weather
true.
Is. It leads into, like, do we need to change now where the seasons start and end?
Because it's November 12th. It was like 70 degrees, 70-something degrees. Yeah. It's like,
I'm okay.
Yeah, no. But it just feels weird. It just does.
Let the world be a beach.
Yeah.
I'll avoid it. But I like the weather. 410-583-1057 is the number. And something I'll never do. One of those big, bad morning show. On. I don't know the last time I played in the sand. I don't know the last time I had my bare feet in the sand.
I just listen to Lil Wayne and do what he says.
What's he say?
Life's a beach and just playing in the sand.
Oh.
Lil Wayne ain't going no sand.
I'm twisted. Doorknob. Yeah, I listen to him too. I don't know what that means. A milli. By the way, I don't know why it was so much later in life that I learned to appreciate Lil Wayne for just how talented the guy is.
Like, you can say,
it's just the double entendres all throughout his music. It's like, how did you think of that? It's incredible.
Yeah. Weed. That's how he thinks of that.
Lean.
Exactly. That too. Crazy college football weekend, week 10. Going to recap that at 6:45. Can't wait for that. But on the other side, you know what week it is. Ravens Steelers get this weekend's game with the divisional lead on the line. Renew the Ravens Steelers rivalry because I think it's fallen off a bit. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Storming the castle with the Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Every game is really super important. And then when you play in your division, they kind of become twice as important. Because you give your division rival a loss. So it separates you really in 1.5 games at least. So that's just something that we really just have to understand. And but we always do. That's why we say division games are so important. Pittsburgh is 7-2, so that becomes part of the equation for sure. But in the end, that's not what matters. What matters is how we play.
Not only is Pittsburgh 7-2, but they swept the Baltimore Ravens last year. In fact, Pittsburgh has had its way with the Ravens over the past 4 years. Ravens have had better seasons than Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. been better teams than Pittsburgh. but they just haven't been able to crack that Pittsburgh Steelers nut. Pittsburgh swept them again, what was it, 2021? I think 2020 as well. So it's just they've got to make this thing a rivalry again by not only beating them, but beating them in relevant games, and this is the definition of one. Could they be. Swept them in 2020, 2021, and then last year. Only when they have.
They had the injury season, though, that they got swept, right?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, look, it is a rivalry, and it just shows you when you look at these two teams that doesn't necessarily matter. Like, I'm not saying that you remove all the stars and then all of a sudden it's going to be a three-point game, but historically, it's come down to 3 points a lot of times in this series. And on top of it, we've seen backup quarterbacks, third-string quarterbacks take the game to overtime, win the game. You know, like, it's there's weird things that happen in this rivalry. And then when you look at what the Steelers did on Sunday, I do think you have to be a little bit concerned with them because their defense is going to travel. Yeah. I mean, we've been saying all year long that we didn't know if they were for real or not. Russell Wilson looked great. George Pickens made one of the best catches we're going to see all season. And now with Mike Williams catching the big one that wins the game, essentially. So they've got some weapons there.
And a great coach.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, the guy, he's like, you know, that old phrase, he's cool on the other side of the pillow. He really is. He's that guy. He's just cool as ice. I admire him a lot. Did you see what he said when someone brought up again comparing someone to Lamar?
Careful.
This is
careful with comparing people to Lamar. Yeah.
I'm glad somebody bigger and better than me said it because that's all I'm trying to say is like it's just
that's what I mean. It was so powerful coming from him. He's like, you know, we call him he's Mr. Jackson.
Yeah,
that's guys, what he said. Like you're talking about Jaden Daniels, who's unbelievably good,
very good.
But don't compare him to the guy that's won two MVPs in his first 6 years and is on pace to win a third one.
Yeah, Jaden Daniels may never win one,
or even say that he's. Lamar's a poor man's Jaden. Well,
that's horrible. Yeah, that's stupid.
Shut up, Dan Helly, you jackass.
By the way, speaking of Mr. Jackson, he's only started 3 of the last 8 against Pittsburgh. That's to be said as well.
Yeah.
You know, he seems like either they play him at the end of the season when it's meaningless, I think that was last year, or Lamar's hurt.
Now, were you saying that's because he's scared?
No, Lamar's hurt.
I'm kidding.
I don't think Lamar's scared of anything. Don't give me that narrative. It's just been unfortunate. They've got to beat the Steelers, man.
Well, are they going to be missing one of the biggest parts of their defense, at least in my mind, in Kyle Hamilton? Because now you got to switch some things up. Is he going to be healthy enough to give it a go?
If he's out, that's a huge problem. It's bad enough how they're playing now. If you look at them, they look really equal on paper because Pittsburgh 7-2 was 7-3. The differential for the point differential, +69 for the Steelers, +65 for the Ravens. Very even. You look at the points allowed. Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah. 146 for the Steelers, 253 for the Ravens.
And the difference is, like, if we're being honest, that game with Washington, like Joey Porter Jr. is a decent cornerback. Mm-hmm. A good one, in fact. And Terry McLaurin was beating him up all day Sunday, and it wasn't a matter of, like, he's out of position. It's just that Terry made some of the most ridiculous catches you're ever going to see. That guy's a stud, man.
He's a stud. He really is.
At the same time, look at the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. How big of a loss would it be if Alex Hightower doesn't play for them? Three sacks. Guy's very active as a linebacker for them. How big would that be?
I mean, it's still a loss, but as long as you have T.J. Watt on that one side.
At least you don't have to worry about one guy now.
Yeah, but that's probably the most worrisome guy in the league. Like, he and Myles Garrett. Like, Micah Parsons in the conversation, but I think the other two are better than him.
Oh, no doubt about it. Micah Parsons is a great pass rusher, but he's a notch below those two guys. Not a bad place to be, below those two. That's not dogging Myles.
No, I just think over the past three seasons, those guys have shown us that they're the cream of the crop. And Max Crosby probably belongs in there, but he's on a terrible team, so we don't talk about him enough.
Let's go to Johnny and Dundalk. What's up, Johnny?
Fellas, good morning. Glad y'all back.
Thank you, sir. Glad to be back.
Hey, I think the trend stays only because of what's on the sideline, man. Mike Tomlin's a better coach than John Harbaugh. He's done more with less for years. And John's arrogance, man, he's not going to beat Mike Tomlin this weekend. Ain't going to happen.
You
say it.
Oof. Wow. Let's assume John's arrogance. Let's run with that, okay? His arrogance has nothing to do with those guys on the field. I don't know if you watch Mike Tomlin. I don't know what you're watching, but Mike Tomlin has a shade of arrogance as well. It's called confidence. The amount of confidence that you need to be,
go be the coach.
That position. Yeah. Exactly.
Take a throw a dart at the NFL. Pick a coach.
The good ones.
Yeah.
Dan
Campbell.
Yeah. Why did Mike Tomlin feel as if he can tell everybody to pump their brakes on comparing people to Lamar Jackson? Why does he feel he can do that?
Because he's that dude.
He takes a little bit of arrogance to be able to say that and think people are going to listen to you. So I'm not denying that John Harbaugh is arrogant. I just don't think that arrogance has anything to do with what's going to go on that field on Sunday.
Did you guys see the spread for Sunday? Did you look at it? I mean, I have it right here, but it's Steelers are a home underdog.
Really?
Ravens are 2.5-point favorites on the road, and it's just showing you the disparity in talent between the two teams. Even though the Ravens' defense looks atrocious, this is a unbelievable offense that should be incredibly difficult to stop, even with a good defense.
I think you got 2.5?
Yeah.
ESPN has 3.5.
Ooh.
Yeah. But I'm not surprised. Somebody asked me Sunday, do you think the Ravens will be actually favorites going to Pittsburgh? I said, they should be. I think they should be. That's not a shocker to me.
It's not a shocker to me, especially with their success rate off of the long week or the bye.
Yeah.
You know, they had 10 days to get ready for this game, and I'm sure all that effort went into it with this bye week. Steelers nonstop.
410-583-1057. Jeremy Conn, is it still a rivalry?
Yes, of course. This is one that I don't know that this rivalry goes away now that it's been substantiated, because I feel like this ends up like even when Dallas and Washington or Dallas and Philadelphia or the Giants and Philly, you look at the NFC East, to me, they're all rivals to one another. And I think if you ask their fan
base. Well, they've been at division since I'm a child. Like, the Ravens have it. A lot of this stuff's been shifted. That division has been the same since I'm a little boy. The only thing changed was the Cardinals used to be in there. That's it.
Yeah, and see, the thing that I'm bringing up with this, though, too, is like with that division and the longevity of it, that's what happens.
Yeah.
I don't think this Ravens-Steelers rivalry hasn't been for that long, but I think the impact that it has now, it's set up like a Bears-Packers rivalry. Even if one of those Bears-Packers, if one of those teams gets bad and they're in the kind of a downward spiral, I still think the rivalry stands.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good one because the way you know is when national pundits are talking about it. Because every time I heard this game teased already, it's been about the rivalry. And, you know, and what living in the past a little bit, hard-hitting, great defensive game. Well, not this year, but still a rivalry.
Still be hard hitting though.
Yeah,
definitely. That. You know what I mean? Patrick Queen's going hunting.
Mm-hmm.
You know that. He's going to hunt. He's going to find somebody who doesn't have their head on a swivel and try to take advantage of that situation.
And you know what? I will bet U.S. currency, Pat Ricard puts him on his ass this week.
He already said he would.
He's going
to. He was joking about it when he went to Pittsburgh. He says, it's going to be fun pancaking you.
Yeah.
You know,
that's right. He did say that. Yeah.
So.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. College football recap at 6:45. World is Stupid at 7 o'clock. But on the other side, Lamar has struggled against the Steelers in his career. Do you think Mike Tomlin has the secret to slowing down number 8? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Every game is better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Game is really super important. And then when you play in your division, they kind of become twice as important because you give your division rival a loss. So it separates you really in 1.5 games at least. So that's just something that we really just have to understand. And but we always do. That's why we say division games are so important. Pittsburgh is 7-2, you know, so that becomes part of the equation for sure. But in the end, that's not what matters. What matters is how we play.
6:30 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Conn on his Taco Tuesday. Baltimore Ravens, it's Ravens Steelers week. One of the biggest robberies in the National Football League. But the Ravens, man, got to play a little catch up. They've not been able to catch up with the Pittsburgh Steelers lately. In the last 8, they've lost 7. Lamar Jackson has only played in 3 of those games. And the games that he's played in, and he struggled. Does Mike Tomlin have the secret sauce for defending Lamar Jackson?
I don't know about that. But they always have a good defense. They still have one. And they face each other twice a year. I just think the Steelers had more talent than other teams in the division. And when you see each other that often and for that many years, you know what the tendencies are. It's not just the year, you know, year-to-year differences. You know what the coaching tendencies are. These guys know each other really well. So, and Tomlin's a great coach. So I think he does know the Ravens very well.
Jeremy?
I think there's familiarity between these two teams. We could sit here and say what we want about the Steelers. They've always had a decent defense. I know there was a stretch of time there where we were going, man, that doesn't look like a typical Steelers defense, kind of like how we're talking about the Ravens this year.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't typical for what you see. And I remember when the Steelers basically, I don't want to say sold out, but they realized all the advantages were on offense, and then they switched up how they were playing and what they were doing. It wasn't more run-dominated, good defense, control time of possession and all that stuff. It was go out and make plays when you can. And sometimes they would score quick with Big Ben because of all the different weapons they had on offense. So, I don't know, man. Like, maybe he does have something. Maybe he sees him differently. I saw I don't know if it was fake or not, the comments about keeping Lamar in the pocket from T.J. Watt and making him throw the football. And it's like, okay, people keep saying that. Good luck when it breaks down, and that's what you have to do. But you have to pick your poison. You got to try to stop one or the other. And again, the thing that would scare me would be death by a thousand paper cuts, Ed. Death by a thousand cuts.
Yeah.
The paper cuts hurt worse.
Yeah, you like the paper cut edition.
Yeah, by running the football and just, again, eating up that clock all game long.
I think they have something. You said more talent than other teams in the past. I go back to the 2020 Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson destroyed the Cleveland Browns, who that year were very talented on defense, not so much against the Pittsburgh Steelers. He had a couple of interceptions, didn't run the ball well. It's something to be said about what the Steelers have in the game plan against Lamar Jackson. Something to be said about that, other than just talent. He hadn't completely stopped them, but he hasn't been magical against them like he's been against some other teams. It'll be interesting because I think Lamar is a better version of Lamar than he's been in years past. It'll be interesting to see what he does against the Pittsburgh Steelers this year. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. I mean, last year, for one game, he put up 10 points against the Steelers in Pittsburgh with the loss was 17-10. It just seems like the offense just doesn't get fired up or get started. They lost both games 17-10. I just noticed that. The second game was with Huntley as the quarterback. Let's go out to Baltimore and get Larry. What's up, Larry?
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Doing well. How are you, man?
Well, people really talk about the game, but now the difference is teams. The Ravens have an offense. Pittsburgh won't be able to slow down the Ravens offense. There's too many of them now. The reason they beat them in the past because Lamar didn't have the weapons he had now. I look for that game. I look for the Ravens to beat them something like 35-24. Ain't a defense in the NFL can slow down the offense they have.
Thanks a lot, man. I mean, the weapons, I think the only weapon that's changed is that the running back position. It's a huge weapon.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge weapon. But he had the other pieces there. And he had a pretty decent running game as well.
But also, you know, a second year into this offense, understanding it, picking it up, Lamar being able to make changes at the line of scrimmage, don't know how much of that was going on. I think it's very different now. It still doesn't mean that the Steelers won't come out and give him fits. I mean, when you have a T.J. Watt, when you have fast players, good corners, hell, Minkah Fitzpatrick, people forgot when he was traded. I mean, that cat's one of the best safeties in the league, and we never talk about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think there are pieces on that defense. And again, when you watch the Ravens defense, I think that's what scares you.
And I think what Jeremy said is more the key to the Ravens offense than the caller using all these weapons. Yeah, I mean, Derrick Henry's a huge addition. I'm not discrediting that. But I think it's year number two in his offense, and these guys knowing the offense a lot more, a lot better, and the offensive coordinator also knowing the tendencies of the pieces as well. I think that's more the key of the offense.
Yeah, I think knowing who your players are,
yeah,
what they're capable of, and what the tendencies. Yeah, it helps a lot. Look, it's going to be. This is just a very different Ravens Steelers game
mm-hmm.
because usually you get two really imposing defenses. You know, it's a 17-13 game, 2017, something like this is going to be different.
You know what's funny? So we gave out that stat about Lamar's QBR. I think it was Mina Kimes that had mm-hmm. it that said something to the effect that people were like, oh, Derrick Henry's the reason why Lamar's having so much success. And he had like a 77 QBR, which is the highest
76.9,
in the league.
76.9, yeah.
Yeah, with him on the field. Yeah. But he had an 80 QBR with him off yep. the field. And why I think that's so much more impressive than what people are giving it credit for. When Derrick Henry's off the field, what are they doing? They're throwing the football. And it means he's successful throwing the
and
football.
All the people that want to criticize him for not being able to throw, he's at the highest QBR and passer rating in the NFL. So, I mean, what are you going to say now?
Ed.
You like his hair?
There was a defender standing in front of an offensive player. So Lamar Jackson could have the perfect touch pass. Yeah. He shot a jump shot.
They're a three-pointer.
He shot a jump shot.
He did. Yeah.
Just to get enough touch over the defender. Yeah. And he just, to me, it looks like he's just out there. He looks like he embodies what Steve Spurrier used to always say.
Yeah.
Just a little pitch and catch.
That's all it is.
just a little pitch and catch. That's what it looks like out there. It's pitch and catch. And it looks like he's having fun. That's the most important thing to me. When you're out there, you're locked in, but you're not locked up. You know, you're out there having fun, tossing the ball around, doing your thing. That's when you become special.
Mm-hmm. And again, a little bit of time off here, this 10 days to get ready. you have your situation where bodies heal up a little bit more. You know, you don't know what's going on with some of these guys. We know Lamar's had some aches and pains or at least missed some practices, so a little extra time can possibly help that. But I'll tell all the people in this league, like, making him one-dimensional, I get it. But be careful what you wish for, because that's a bad man back there.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't it fun just to know you can do whatever you want to do on or need to do on offense. Let's just say that. It's really no, you know, I go on the Purple Connection on WJZ, and I always kid Alex. I said, you know, it's the old line from I'm going to get you, sucker. It's either the window or the stairs. Mm-hmm. You're going down. But the window and stairs. And that's how this offense is right now. With throw, Ed. And then in the fourth quarter, Derrick Henry's going to pop one and seal the deal as the Mariano Rivera. He's going to save it.
Mr. Jackson.
Yeah.
I just find it really comforting. I don't know. I just find it very nice to hear that. You got one of the most esteemed coaches in the NFL calling your quarterback Mr. Jackson and then just pump your brakes on comparing him to anybody. Just telling it like it is. It's about time, because I'm so sick of the criticism of him. It's like, come on, man. Like,
so, he also threw in there, Ed, that guy's got multiple MVPs. He's got multiple MVPs. Yeah. You guys, who are you comparing him to?
See, the other part
of
this.
He's making his third this year. I don't know how he doesn't, actually.
The other part of this, and I know, like, it's not something that you necessarily need to care about or that you have to have, but he's a good dude. Like, he's easy to root for, and he's a nice guy. Like, watching the clips, and I don't know how many times this happens. He sees the little girl who made him the friendship bracelet, and he goes over and takes it. And like, again, something small that most people won't think about, but
I think if he doesn't do it, you think about it. Jeremy, if he doesn't do that, then everybody's talking about it. When he does it, well, he's supposed to do that.
Also, he knocks over a camera person on a play. He walks over and helps them up. You don't see that.
He calls her Miss Lisa.
Every female journalist, he calls Miss whatever. Absolutely.
He calls every female journalist Miss Lisa? That's sexist.
No, that would be.
What would that be?
Let's go to Brandon in Baltimore. What's up, Brandon?
What's up, guys? Thank you for taking the call.
Thank you for calling.
I think we're going to be fine against the Steelers. I think it's a matchup type of thing. We struggle with teams that can throw the ball around the field. And the Steelers, everything is off the play action. I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball as well on us as they are against other teams. So I think matchup-wise, I think we'll be fine. But what I really want to know, and I'm curious to get you guys' comments, what is the fascination in Baltimore with Mike Tomlin? Is he a great coach? Absolutely. Hall of Fame coach? Absolutely. But the fans in Baltimore, every day.
You just said the fascination of Mike Tomlin.
I think you just answered it.
He's a great coach. He's a Hall of Famer. And, oh, by the way, he's the head coach of our rival. I think that's the fascination. Probably the same fascination they have in Pittsburgh over John Harbaugh. Yeah, he's a great coach. He's a Hall of Famer, and he's the head coach of your rival. Every time I'm on a Pittsburgh station, I don't know about you, Jeremy, I'm asked about John Harbaugh.
Well, there's so many different things that go into this rivalry. And there were people that said, I hate when you guys call it Steelers Week. They call it Ravens Week in Pittsburgh. Yeah. That's what it is. That's what a rivalry becomes, is that you're focusing on these things. And sometimes it don't even matter. But, like, there's that hatred there. And you know when you play this game. I always worry about the game after the Steelers game, because you know how hard-hitting this game is.
I don't understand the fascination of Mike Tomlin. Is he a great coach? Is he a Hall of Famer? Well, you just answered it. Dundalk, Wayne. What's up, Wayne?
Hey, Rob. Good morning, fellas.
Good morning, man. How are you?
Hey, pretty good, man. I just want to say a couple of things. This weekend, you know, I'm watching all the football and all the games and getting a break from the Ravens. It just gave me a chance to watch the other teams. And there's not a whole lot of teams out there. I think Mike Preston was saying it, like that are really, really good at defense. I mean, there was some bad football fumbling on the last drive to win the game. I'm just like, bad football out there.
Wayne, the NFL is not great right now. It's not. Yeah, it's competitive because everybody's bad. Yeah.
Right. But what I want to say is, man, is like, I'm not too worried this week going into the Pittsburgh, because I think that what we lack is confidence, man. We just got to go in there. We have the better team. Well, our offense can – I know we can run all over them. It's our defense. But I think if we just – you got to blitz Russell Wilson. You know what I mean? You can't let him do what he wants to do. But I don't think it's going to be as bad as people think, man. If our defense
is going to be bad. I think you're speaking for your friends, man. I don't think the Ravens lack confidence at all. Who lacks confidence?
And who said it was going to be bad on our part? I mean, I think the Ravens win. The
Ravens are favorite in this game. Yeah. Road game.
They're favored by 3.5. That's like, you know, if it was a heat, it'd be a 6.5-point favorite.
I don't know who lacks confidence, and I don't know who says it's going to be bad. I think you're speaking from your circle. I don't think the Ravens lack confidence at all. 410-583-1057 is the number. Kim McCusick joins us in studio at 8 o'clock. But on the other side, Week 11 college recap up next on The Fan. 6:49 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Guys, college football was bananas again over the weekend. Week 11, it is setting up for some strange, strange forecasts for Week 12. We'll talk about that later on in the week. First of all, what about, Jeremy, you and I talked about this before the season started. I did not believe in Carson Beck. Carson Beck has given everyone reason not to believe in him, Ed, as Georgia goes down 28-10 to Ole Miss. Ole Miss getting the win, a win that they needed to stay in the college football playoff race.
And if you remember, I mean, I said I think Ole Miss could take this game.
Yes,
I thought they'd do it by like a point or like a last, you know, last possession field goal.
You convinced me to lay 25 on it.
Did you really? I didn't think they were going to shellack Georgia, though. That was pretty impressive. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, look, this is something we had talked about. One of these games that really don't make sense. You see Georgia go to Texas and handle them. And then you look at the spot that Georgia comes in now facing Ole Miss in a must-win situation. That's why I was on Ole Miss. It was one of my favorite plays this weekend, along with Kansas over Iowa State. Kansas is kind of like rolling right now and looking like a good team. And then there were a couple other things that were not shocking. I don't know if you guys have paid attention to Florida. Like, everybody's done on that team.
Oh, they're terrible. They're their third quarterback or something, right?
Yeah, I don't even know. It might be their fourth or fifth,
maybe,
to be honest with you.
Know, yeah.
They're starting like a redshirt freshman. And look, for some of the good things he did out there, you're facing the best defense in college football, arguably. And he got his ass handed
to
him.
What about Indiana? I mean, when do you think you're going to hear Indiana beats Michigan? I don't care if Michigan's having a down year or whatever. It's Indiana. This is the first 10-win season in history.
I love
they've never won 10 games.
I'm going to surprise you guys with something. There's a receiver on Indiana that I really like, Elijah Surratt. Every game, he's just like Mr. Consistency for him. And again, this weekend against Michigan, you could have had a hiccup there. Wouldn't have shocked anybody. I think there's a lot of people that don't believe in Indiana, but they just keep stacking up W's.
Jeremy, I'm telling you right now, if Michigan finishes out in the fizzle, they're making a coaching change.
I don't think they are.
Okay. All right. Keep spiraling downward. And speaking of a beatdown, maybe this is the beginning of them finding a way to run Brian Kelly's ass out of town. I don't like LSU, but I don't like Brian Kelly. And to have Alabama, Jeremy, go to Death Valley and hang 42 on them and beat them by damn near 30.
Can I tell you what Brian Kelly reminds me of? Like, when a song was cool when I was in high school and it was played out, and then my dad started to like it, and then he started to sing it.
That's Brian Kelly.
That's Brian Kelly. Like, you're watching him out there. It's like, man, this corny some bitch. Like, what the hell? Where did this accent come from?
You mean when he did the 360 picture?
You're dancing and pointing? What are you, like, he is such a clown, and I can't believe LSU even went after this guy.
It was kind of fugazi, wasn't it? Hey, speaking of clowns, Mario Cristobal loses another big game for Miami. They lose to Georgia Tech on the road. Georgia Tech came into this game 500 in the ACC, Ed. You're 5-0, you're playing a 500 ACC team, and you go down to them on the road.
Yeah. I mean, I thought Miami was back. Like, you know, the program. I mean, this is, you know, they're back.
Their defense gives up too many explosive plays.
Man, and they lose to Georgia. Although, and the other thing, talk about their defense. It's funny, like, you know, Miami's always had their reputation, like, you know, saints and sinners or whatever the hell, you know, ND. Miami,
convicts.
Convicts and, yeah.
Catholics.
Catholics and convicts, yeah.
They were targeting Georgia Tech's players. Like, they were accused of, like, some really dirty play.
Jamal Haynes got knocked out of the game. They're starting running. That's why I'm still shocked they beat him. First drive of the game for Georgia Tech, he breaks off, like, an 80-yard run, gets tackled at, like, the 8. And then all of a sudden, he burst in, and he had 3 carries, and he was out of the game.
Yeah.
And when you look at Cam Ward, Cam Ward's as talented as anyone in college football from the quarterback standpoint.
But
can definitely sling the football. But the defense has been flirting with disaster the past 4 weeks. Like, you go to Cal and you need to come back. Who was it last week that they needed to come back? They've had so many close games where you're going, why is this happening to this team? You're better than this.
And speaking of Dunn, and I hate to bring this up.
You looking at Ed?
You talking about the Seminoles? Oh, that was a good performance.
52-3.
I'm aware. I watched some of that game. I was like, I can't watch this anymore.
They shouldn't even gotten on a plane. If I'm the AD, I'm like, man, we wasting money on this.
I don't understand.
Seriously.
So, obviously, the rumors of Deion to Florida State have started. There are rumors.
Why not?
There are rumors about Deion going to the NFL, whichever team drafts his kid.
I said Deion's going to Florida State like 5 years ago. Yeah. It just makes sense because he, you know, obviously played there.
I didn't think it made sense then. I think it does now because he stepped put his big toe in water.
Yeah.
In college water.
What I find unusual, though, is the fact that both Florida State and Florida are they're terrible. Terrible. And Florida, as a state, they have more guys in the NFL than any state except California. Only because California is like the size of a country. Florida is number 2 in the nation. It's not Georgia. It's not Alabama. It's Florida. How are their teams so bad?
I don't know if you guys know this, but Division I football in the NFL, the state of Florida this weekend only won 1 game.
The Dolphins?
Dolphins. Everybody in the state of Florida lost. Look it up. Everybody. All college football teams.
That's crazy.
All NFL teams except Miami saved the week for the state of Florida.
So the other part of this, too, is just with how bad these Florida teams are. I was kind of shocked this week that the AD for Florida came out and said that their coach is safe. He's bringing them back. Which, part of me thinks that's kind of cool that they did that. Because, looking at the situation, saying, hey, we want to give you an opportunity. We paid you to bring you in. We're not going to make a knee-jerk reaction. The other part of me goes, I'm not sure this guy's a good coach. So
yeah, maybe I say that publicly because he has some good recruits coming in, and then I get rid of him.
Could be.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ken McCusick joins us at 8 o'clock in studio. But on the other side, we get stupid with Jeremy Kahn.
Yeah, we're going to talk about a Guinness Book of World Records, a record that was apparently set by someone that donated 700 gallons of this. We'll tell you about that coming up. We're also going to meet Bob, the fish with a human face. Now, I know people are going, what? This thing looks ridiculous. You're looking at it and going, all right, is this painted? I can't wait to show you guys, and I'll let people see it, too. It's on my at JCon Sports. But the headliner is, I'm a sexual perversion expert. These are the weirdest fetishes I've ever studied.
Oh, I'll be the judge of that.
We have to find out if Ed's into any of these things. It's disgusting, and the world is stupid next here on The Fan.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.